So I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation today, and I'm going to read the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. By the way, if you didn't make our Christmas Eve of Eve service, it was a glorious service. We had almost 80 people here, and I preached on Luke chapter 1, which is a bit of a different part of the Christmas story. So it says, at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quintus was governor of Syria, and all returned to their own ancestry towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. I don't have this in my notes, but I want to stop for just a second. This was the first time that they ever passed that law that you had to go back to your ancestry hometown. Did you know that? That was not custom, but Augustus decided that everybody needs to go back to their hometown to register. Why? Because the Bible prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. If Augustus had not done that, he would have been born in Nazareth, because he was raised in Nazareth. I just say that to say this. Don't limit God. See, if God has to move upon the president's heart to enact a law because of you, he'll do it to fulfill his plan in your life. With God, nothing is impossible. You know, I just feel in my heart that there's people here today that are facing some impossible things. And I just came to say, I didn't actually come to say, but I feel like the Spirit of God is wanting to say, don't give up on God. God can do the impossible in your life if you'll believe. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's health-wise. Maybe it's restoring a marriage. I don't know, but I just know it doesn't matter. God is able to reach down into an imperfect society and touch your life. Make you whole. Isn't that wonderful? Said that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You'll recognize him by this. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angels was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Father God, we come before you today, and we're asking you, Lord, to anoint the word of God so that our ears can pick up what the Spirit of God is wanting to speak to our hearts today. God, this is not the Rotary Club. Lord, we're not here to do good deeds. We're here because we love and we worship you. Lord, you said, forsake not the assembling, even more so as you see the days approaching. God, I'm not for sure what you want to do in this place, but I feel, Lord, that you're wanting to do something powerful in our hearts and in our lives. God, it's so much more than the Christmas story or what the world has made of it. I pray today that our eyes would be open to see the majesty of Christ coming to earth. How marvelous it is, Lord, the story that is told. God, let us see it, Lord, more than with our eyes of intellect, but with our hearts of faith today. Let us perceive, Lord, that nothing is impossible to God, and nothing is impossible to him who believes. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, we didn't read this selection of portion of Scripture, but you've got to think what it would have been like to be Mary or Joseph. The fact that God chose them to bear their son. You know, I think all of us put our intellect, our feelings into Mary, but Joseph was chosen just as much as Mary. See, if she had been hooked up to the wrong guy, a guy that wasn't as honorable as her or as Joseph, it would have knocked her out of the game, right? Her heart had to be precious and pure before the Lord, but so did his. You know, oftentimes I teach people that Joseph was the first stepfather. He was the first guy that had to raise someone else's son. And man, did he do a good job. If you're a stepdad here today and you want an example, study not much about him, but study the life and person of Joseph. We watched Mark Lowry's song as he wrote, Mary, Did You Know? It celebrated 30 years, and Treva put that on last night as we watched it. And some of the statements that he made, you know, in that song, Mary, did you know that when you kiss the face of your baby, you are literally kissing the face of God? What an honor. Think about it. What an honor that God appeared to her and said, Mary, I've chosen you. Got it? No? Hey, Tommy and Pat, go make some more coffee, would you? I think we need. Okay, now I want you to go with me one more step. Do you realize you were chosen too? Almost for the exact same reason. Do you realize God chose you to carry his son into the world? Isn't that an amazing thing? I know in the church, when you talk to Christians, it's like we think we found Jesus. We didn't find Jesus. He found you. And he found you when you were pretty nasty, pretty messed up, and he loved you. Mary was a virgin. Mary was pure. I was not. I was not pure. My mind was a mess. I got saved at 7. Dave got saved at 46. Think about how bad his mind was. Isn't it wonderful? What a miracle, right? That God, no matter what you've done in life, no matter how you've messed it up, God comes to your door, to your heart, and says, I've selected you. I've chosen you. Will you carry the message of my son? Will you carry Jesus? I'm not asking you to birth him. I'm asking you to carry him so that the world can know how wonderful Jesus is. You know, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I really wish they didn't use the word preacher there. Because the whole church says, go, pastor. Tell the world about Jesus. Raise your right hand if you would for me. I now call you preacher. Now go and tell the world about... See, nobody has a story exactly like yours. And someone will identify with your story when they won't identify with my story. We need to tell people the goodness of God. The Bible goes on and it records Mary's song of worship. My soul exalts you. My soul glorifies in you. She understood the selection and how wonderful it was. And I believe that when you get this picture in your mind that God chose you, all of a sudden this worship begins to bellow out of you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my heart. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, our worship is a gift to God. I've always been a person of worship. I just love to worship the Lord. It's something I guess he just put inside of me. I don't know, but I love to worship. But I know Eric. I know how bad he was and how good he is and how wonderful it was that Jesus came to me. Mary got that too. I think the one thing that really spoke to me this year as I was reading the Christmas story, as I was studying it, is life is not sanitary nor convenient. In my mind, I had that stable swept clean when Mary and Joseph got there. I didn't realize there were probably shovels that needed to be used. How about you? Did you need a shovel in your life when Jesus came? You know what I'm referring to. If you've ever been in a barn with an animal, you know what's on the floor, right? And I think Joseph probably had to prepare a place for Mary to have this child. And in our minds, I think that we think life is not supposed to be messy. Life should be, I get a little sick of these Christians that want to put their nose up in the air. Oh, really? You don't believe like that? Or you're going through that problem? I want to tell you, I've met enough Christians in my lifetime, there's really no problems that we haven't been through. Life is not neat. Life is very unsanitary. Life is messy. But Jesus is the greatest custodian of all times. Somehow he can come into your mess and clean it up. Aren't you thankful? Would anybody have their son born in a manger? Born in a barn? You know, we read a little joke that said the other night that Joseph was talking to Mary and he said, you know, I didn't make reservations and the only place I could find is this stable. And Mary says something like, what? Fine. Like, I'm just fine. And then the caption underneath was, it probably was a silent night. I just tell you that to say this. They were people just like you and me. See, we read scriptures of all these great men of God and we somehow put them on this pedestal that they don't go through the stuff we do. I promise you it's not true. They suffered depression. They went through days of hunger. They went through looking for stuff. They went through trying to make sure that everything was right in their heart just like you. So don't sanitize the Word of God to the point that it gets out there beyond you. Does that make sense? Because if you read the Word of God, you'll see a messy situation. Just like your life. Just like my life. But God is so wonderful that he comes into the mess and he cleans it up. Thank you, Jesus. Sends his son into probably the worst of situations so that he could do some things. And today, that's why I wanted to talk to you. Why did Jesus come to earth? I came up with 10 things from Scripture, the reasons that Jesus came to earth. And the reason I want to bring that to you is, see, I believe this. If it was important to Jesus, it ought to be important to you. If it was Jesus' mission, it ought to be your mission. Right? You see, Jesus didn't call us to do opposite of what he did. You know, some of us as Christians will say, hey, don't do as I do. Follow the word. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, if you see me doing it, you do it. Right? Wow. Paul actually said that too. Follow me as I follow Christ. But the very first thing is, Jesus came to do the will of his Father, not his own thing. How sold out are you? Could anybody in this place say, I don't care about my will anymore. I am here solely to do the will of the Lord. Because that's what he wants. He wants your obedience. John chapter 6 verse 38, he says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. You are a bondservant of Christ. In Romans chapter 6, I believe it was, he said, doulos. It's the lowest form of servant. It's the one that has no choice. We think we have a choice. Jesus asks us to do something, and you know what we do? Let me see. I really don't feel like doing that right now. Try that at work. Try when your boss comes to you and says, hey, I need you to do this right now. Boy, it just has to be done. Yeah, I'm not really feeling that. Yeah, see how that flies. Aren't you thankful God is so patient? You know, one of the greatest stories is when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And there's a remarkable verse. Right after God asked him to do that, the Bible says early the next morning he saddled his donkey. He didn't think about it. How often do we debate with the Holy Ghost whether we will obey or not? Folks, dead people don't get a choice. We're to be dead to ourselves. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He said this. He said, I don't even speak a word. I don't speak a word unless I hear my Father say it. Oh, can we say that? He that controls the tongue is the same as a perfect man. Number two, Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Luke chapter 19, verse 10. That's the key verse of the book of Luke. He came to seek and to save. He told the Pharisees, he says, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. I qualified. How about you? Do you qualify today? I'm still a little bit sick. You know, sometimes I just have sick thoughts. Sometimes I have a sick body. Sometimes I have sick relationships. I'm so thankful that I serve a God that is a God to the sick. All I have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. He came to not just save me. He came to heal me, to make me whole, and I'm so thankful. Number three is Jesus came to bring light to a dark world. If you'll study the message of Christ, you'll see this. He's always talking about a new kingdom. A new kingdom. Why? Because he entered into a very dark world, the kingdom of Satan, and now he is bringing the kingdom of God, and everything about the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of darkness. Maybe that doesn't mean much to you, but when you get up tomorrow and you go to work, you're entering into the kingdom of darkness. You need to make sure that you're taking the King of Kings into that kingdom of darkness so your light can shine to that world. That's how people's lives are changed. John chapter 12, verse 46. He says, I have come as a light into this world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So if you're in darkness today in any part of your life, God wants to bring a light to that dark world. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, 19. This is actually a quotation from Isaiah chapter 61. It's when Jesus moved into the sanctuary and he began to quote this passage of scripture. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Let's say it this way. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Pastor used to always say, Pastor Art, he always said the gospel to the poor is you don't have to be poor anymore. God can bring you out of poverty. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody been brokenhearted before? To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We get it. We get it that Jesus did this. What we don't get is that that's my calling too. That's your calling. So would you just put your name there for a second? The Spirit of the Lord is upon Eric. Okay, I don't want you to use Eric. Put your name. The Spirit of the Lord is upon... Thank you, Treva. Because he has anointed Treva to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Treva to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I hope you get this. See, every day, Treva goes to work. She's in that mayor's office. She's his assistant. But she's really God's person in that office. You get that? And every day, people come into that office, and I just use her as an example. I could use any one of you. Every day, oppressed people come into that office. Brokenhearted people come into that office. And Treva has a ministry upon her to be sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost that she can look at the eyes of someone that's smiling at her and saying, what's wrong with you today? I feel that you are brokenhearted. I feel that there's something that's going on in your life, and I believe that Jesus wants to deliver you today. You think those kind of things can happen? I believe they're supposed to happen every day of our life. See, I believe in divine appointments, and I've been praying for them a lot. That God will set you up. Bring someone that you have eyes and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, I think probably every person in this church is a Christian. We're not winning the lost today. Not if only Christians come. So if we're not going to win the lost on Sunday, what about Monday? Say, Pastor, are you going to start having church on Monday? No. You are. Once you understand whatever Jesus came to do, now it's your mission. Now it's your job. If he cared about the brokenhearted, you should too. We need to quit putting our nose up to people that live different lifestyles than us. And let's just love them into the kingdom. Jesus will fix it. All we got to do is introduce them. Well, two or three people are awake today. Praise the Lord. Number four, I like this one. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's right. That ought to get a hand. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you realize that's what he did in your life? He destroyed the work. In other words, we all like to quote Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan and a purpose. Oh, he's going to prosper me. He's going to do this. But I got news for you. So does Satan. See, Satan's got a plan for you. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. So thankful for the rest of that verse. But I have come that you might have life. You see, Satan came to do a work in you, but Jesus says, no way. You're not going to do that in her. I love her. I gave my life to save her. So who are you taking that message to? See, I believe that God wants to do that in through you. God wants to destroy the works of the enemy. So many things in this life that we feel like, well, if we just throw some money at it, or we educate people a little bit more, we can get people past these problems. I got news for you. There are some things that money cannot fix. And I don't care how far you go in school, education will not fix sinful things. Sometimes people just need to be delivered. And they need to see the works of Satan. Are you getting that? In other words, AIDS is healable in the kingdom of heaven. There is no lifestyle that people cannot overcome. I know people have gender confusion. I know there's all that stuff out there. I just know he is greater. He's bigger. Jesus came to give us life eternal. John chapter 3, you know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we all love that verse, but I have fallen in love with verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Can you just say amen? Can you say thank you? You see, he had a chance. He could have done that. Think about the lady caught in adultery, brought right out into the midst of the court square where all the people had gathered. And she is probably, if she's not naked, she's almost naked. She is humiliated. And all it would have took, I think, is one word from Jesus to destroy her mentally and physically. But he didn't do it. If there's ever a time that he could have condemned a person, it was right there. Do you remember his words? After the people left that wanted to stone her, he said, where are your accusers? Well, they've gone, Lord. And he says, I'm not here to condemn you. Whew. Would you personalize that for just a second? On your worst day, on the day that you was the ugliest, when Jesus could have criticized you, he could have condemned you. He didn't. He said, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here that you might have life. Aren't you thankful? It blows my mind. You know why? Because I'm not really like that. I probably would have said, somebody give me a stone. I'm thankful that my God is not like me. And I'm praying that I become more like him. Number six is Jesus came to teach us true humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. We usually quote verse 5 saying, have the mind of Christ. He says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, in Jesus' mind, he knew who he was. See, I believe this is one of the biggest things that Jesus wants to do in every one of our lives. You can either let the world identify you, you can let your past identify you, you can let everybody that ever spoke hateful in your life be your identity, or you can let Jesus identify you. I choose Jesus. I'm going to let him identify me. Jesus knew he was equal with God. He said, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In our Sunday school today, we talked about a little bit about humility. I don't think we're born with humility. I think we're born with pride, selfishness. And the world gets on board and they say things like this: hey, if you don't promote yourself, ain't nobody else going to promote you. If you don't blow your horn, nobody else is going to blow it. You know, the greasy wheel, the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the grease. If you want that job promotion, you got to tell everybody how great you are. And then Jesus comes along and says, no. No, that's not true. You see, real life is found in humility, where everybody else, you consider them before you consider yourself. I don't think we really understand that. So let me make three statements. Humility admits when you're wrong. Anybody got a problem admitting when you're wrong? You have a pride problem. I didn't think I'd get a whole lot of amens. I just maybe want a shake of the head. Do you understand that? See, your problem probably not is that in the fact that you're wrong, it's in the fact that you can't admit it. You have a pride problem. God wants to help you with that. God doesn't want to condemn you in that. God wants to help you overcome that. Humility is the building block of all relationships. I think humility might be one of the number one things about love. You know, oftentimes we say, without trust, there can be no love. Well, without humility, considering the other person, you're not going to last. Marriage is great on perfecting you, right? Marriage has a way of just reaching down and showing you how selfish you are. And then you got to deal with it. And we need some humility when it comes to marriage and when it comes to the world and to the church. Humility is the fruit of openness, teachability, and flexibility. Have you become inflexible in your life? I'm not going to change. That is not godly. As long as you draw breath, you stay flexible to the Lord. Let Him have the ability to change you. Number 7, Jesus came to die so we could live. He says in John 12, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. You know the reason that we're not producing fruit? Because we hadn't died to ourselves. That's a little bit tough. You want to see fruit start growing in your life? Die to yourself. Humble yourself. See, that was the message of Christ. Jesus said, I'm going to die. Physically, I'm going to die so that your life will live. So that this seed, when it's planted, it doesn't just reproduce one, it reproduces many. That's why farmers sow a lot of seed. The tightest most conservative farmer is still going to plant a lot of seed. Why? Because he knows the more he plants, the more he produces. How about you? What a Christmas story, right? I said, Pastor, I've never heard a Christmas story like this. We have all the answers in the church. We have the answer. We're just not sharing it. We're so involved with me, mine, my problems, my successes. I'm just amazed at how we just pass people by regularly that need Jesus. They just need someone to love them. And you are called to do that. And we're just passing people up. Folks, I'm going to say something a little bit hard. Like I hadn't said anything hard yet. Don't let there be people in hell because you didn't talk to them. Do your best. Do you realize hell is real? Not only is there hell after death, but there's actually a hell while you're living. I promise you, you know people that think they're already in hell. If only we'd open our mouths and tell people there is a God that loves you so much that if you will turn to Him, He'll help you through. I don't ever tell people that God's going to fix all your problems, but God will take you through the problems. God will make you successful. Jesus came to break down barriers that people built. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 says, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Satan came to divide us as much as he could. So we have divided over education. We have divided over skin color. We have divided over money. We have divided over religion. Been more wars started because of religion than any other reason. You see, Satan has had his way in this world. He's divided us. Today in this town, there's over 200 churches meeting together. Today in every town across the United States, it's the most segregated day of the week. Sunday. Because black folks have to go to black churches and white folks have to go to white churches. And somehow Satan has divided us. And Jesus says, "I come to break down the divide." So start loving people. Not necessarily people that look like you. Jesus came so we could be made right with God. In other words, righteous. Romans 5:18, he says, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all people, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man," that one man is Jesus, "righteous act, the free gift, came to all people, resulting in justification of life." Jesus came to make you righteous. And it's the hardest thing to get Christians to say. I can ask you if you're saved and you'll say yes. I can ask you if you're righteous and you'll look at me. Because we don't like to say we're righteous. We don't have any problem at all saying, "I'm a sinner. I'm a terrible sinner." But ask a Christian to say, "I am righteous." And they back up. It is not about you. It is about the gift of God. He took your sin and gave you His righteousness. Change your language. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But until you see that, you're going to walk like a sinner all the days of your life until you realize, "I am righteous not because of what I do, but because of who I am." Amen. Woo! You guys are wearing me out today. Amen. I don't know which amen that was over, Brother. The last thing I want you to know, Jesus came to establish a triumphant church. Not a weak, not a mealy mouth, bunch of weak people. We are to be as bold as a lion. Matthew chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, he's looking at Peter, and he said, "I say to you, you are Peter." Now, his name was not Peter at that time. His name, Cephas, meant a reed. He was changing it to Peter, which means a rock. And he says, on this rock I'll build my church. He was not talking about Peter. He was talking about the revelation knowledge that Jesus, that Peter had just spoke. I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Oh, if only you understood the treasure. The treasure, the power, the authority that you as a believer hold. Church doesn't look the way it's supposed to look. Church is powerful. The church didn't come into the earth to get its direction from the government. The church came to show the government what's right. Amen. But again, Satan has divided us. Come on, let's open our eyes. Let's get new revelation knowledge. How powerful, not Bridge of Hope. No. When I'm saying the church, I mean God's people. The Baptists, the Pentecost, the Church of Christ, the Presbyterians. The people that believe that Jesus came by a virgin, lived his life, died on that cross for my sin. That's the church. And the church is the most underestimated organization in the world because we don't understand our authority. Jesus says, I want to give you the keys of the kingdom. Well, see, if you have a key to this church, you can come and go as you wish. If you understand your authority, you walk in a different light. Christians are walking around with their head stuck between their tail. Really, I think what the church's trying to do right now is like, hey, if we fly low, they won't notice us. So just walk quiet. You'll be out of here in about 80 years. Nobody will notice you're a Christian. Shame on us. When the world is dying and going to hell. If there's ever been a day of confusion, it's this day. People just don't know. People don't understand. Satan has pulled the wool over their eyes. And see, God selected you. And God selected me. Not just to preach to them, but to love them. I can love them through this. If I love them enough, I can point them to Christ. And then I can show them how powerful he is. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Remember that? But God can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. See, because I've met way too many people that thought they were Humpty Dumpty. They had a great fall. And they're laying there in pieces until God walks into their life and he begins to put them back together. We've got the greatest message on earth. The greatest message started with the greatest story. A virgin would bear a son, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would come to this earth. But he didn't come for no reason. He came to change us. And now he has given us the message of reconciliation. Folks, let's make 2022 a different year. COVID's killing a lot of people. Just had a dear friend die last week. I mean, a dear friend. Love this guy. But I refuse to walk in fear to COVID. If it kills me, it kills me. I'm just going to go to heaven a little early. But I'm not going to walk in fear to it. I don't think we ought to walk in fear to anything. The way I read Psalms 139 is God wrote a book about me, and he numbered my days. And when that number gets through, I'm going home. But if that number's not through, COVID can't touch me. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to overcome. You know why? Because he told me I could. He told me I could win. I choose him. I choose Jesus. I choose his message. The message of the cross is the greatest message. The message of love. The message of forgiveness. The message of he can clean up my stinking messy life. And he's still working. You know, I know as a kid growing up, I used to look at the pastors and think, wow. Now that I'm a pastor, I go, wow, but it's for a different reason. That God would call me. Woo! God, what's happened to the kingdom? Do you get my story? I'm not so different than you. I'm really not any different than you. But God, in his amazing grace, wants to do something in your life more than get you saved. You get me? I know you're saved. You can be saved and be defeated. I want to see you be successful, triumphant. I want to see you be the person that charges hell, not runs from it. Because that's who God's called us to be. A triumphant church. A church that overcomes by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Stand with me. Wow, what a Christmas story. Now that's one you want to tell your kids, isn't it? I know that probably every person in this place is born again. If you're not, just ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and give you a do-over. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior? But for those of you that are born again, we got a ways to go, folks. If you're one of them that's been trying to fly under the radar, it's time to change your radar. It's time to get your boldness on. It's time to walk in work and tell them you have the answer. Oh, they're going to think something of you. Ooh. Well, the answer is Jesus. It's time to get sensitive to those people that their life has fallen apart around you. And we're so involved in us that we can't see them. It's time for you to take the message of Jesus wherever you go. Into Walmart, God knows Jesus needs to go into Walmart. Pumping gas, Kroger, wherever you go, to the park, Jesus is there with you. Now let him speak. You keep your mouth shut. Keep your eye. Nobody really cares what you think. But they do want to hear words of life. Let Jesus speak through you. Are you convicted yet, or is it just me? Would you bow your head? Jesus, I am convicted. Man, it's so easy as a preacher to think we got it going. But Lord, sometimes we're just bold as a lion on Sunday, and then for the rest of the week, we're just timid. God, I pray that the same boldness that I would walk in on Sunday, Lord, I'll walk in on Monday through Saturday. God, I pray for these people that have come here today, Lord, that they would understand the message of hope and life that you have given to them. Lord, it's easy to see that you selected Mary to carry your child, but today you've selected us to carry your child. So Lord, I carry Jesus to Kroger. I carry Jesus into my home and to my neighbors and to my workplace. I carry him. Now God, I know, Lord, that you will never let me down. I know, Father, that you will show yourself strong as I lift you up. God, I pray for every person here today that's making that declaration in their heart that, God, I'm going to let you live in me. I'm going to let you speak through me. And when I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to let God live strong. God, I pray, show yourself mighty. Show yourself strong and faithful to each and every one of us. Help us to change this world in which we live. God, we pray for Paris. We pray for Henry County. God, that it would be a city of transformation. God, what a wonderful thing it would be if we got to close the jail because of no occupancy. What greatness it would be if when we walk down the aisles of the hospital, we lay our hands on the sick and they recover. God, I believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe the one who has changed is us. And I commit myself to doing better and allowing you to live larger in me than I have in 2021. God be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come and dismiss us?
Getting saved and getting ourselves saved and getting other people saved, that we think once we hit salvation, that's the end of the story.